Today I'd like to go back and revisit a verse of Scripture that's been with me for 40 or 50 years, one that I have appreciated very much through the years. When I was in business in Cincinnati, I was going through the plant one day, and one of the employees, a young fellow, said to me, it's layman's day at our church, a little bitty church around from the plant, and said, would you come around there and preach the sermon on layman's day? Well, I had no sermon to preach. I had never done that. But I thought I ought to do it, so I went around to a small church. So I did what a lot of people do who need a sermon. They get down a book of Spurgeon. And so they steal or plagiarize or get one of his sermons. And I did. And I got the outline, and I've never forgotten the outline. He was preaching on Philippians 3:13. In which Paul gives his formula for success. And all through these years, I've maintained these 4 points that were the formula for success. And I'm sure on that morning, when I gave the 4 points, I ran out of material. I mean, you know, it didn't take over 5 or 10 minutes, and that was one of the shortest layman sermons that you had ever heard in your life. I couldn't remember what Spurgeon said about all of them. I could just remember the 4 points. But through these many years, I've carried these 4 points in my mind. Because Paul, to me, appeals a great deal to businessmen. Paul is a person who believes in process. You don't see Paul talking much about miracles and much about things except in process. He believed that you did things 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And as a businessman, that appeals to me because I find that life moves pretty much by process, too. And you remember what he said? This one thing I do. Forgetting the things that are behind, I press forward toward the prize of the mark of the high calling of Christ. Philippians 3:13. 4 points in that, they're excellent points. And I want to fill them out a little bit today that I didn't get to a long time ago when I was speaking at that little church. The first one is simply this, one thing I do. Life has to have a focus. Life has to have a concentration to be successful. People who go off like a shotgun instead of shooting like a rifle never accomplish very much. It's those people who are able to focus their energy and their attention down. They are the ones who accomplish, and Paul did this. The second thing he said, forgetting the things that are past. See, forgetting with Paul was a discipline, a mental discipline. God says he forgets. And Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind. The discipline of forgetting. The third, the dedication of pressing forward. Paul said, I press forward. In the new Bible that Zig has been reading to you, it simply is translated, I work hard. The fourth point, I anticipate the prize. Because Paul believed that whatever God had promised, God would fulfill. And so the prize was automatic. Zig's been talking now for several weeks about goals. I think last Sunday he was particularly good. I don't know what we can afford to give him 4 more days of rest. I mean, he was downright frisky last Sunday, wasn't he? Just a little rest just really gets that old boy up. But he was talking about goals. You know, I think we talked about here. The direction of our life is who we are becoming. The goals are what we're accomplishing. And this is what Zig has been talking about. The second point I want to come to in Paul's formula, forgetting the past. Now, as you get older, that's not as difficult as it was when you were younger. If forgetting is one of the divine qualities, I'm almost saintly right now. it's kind of like a friend of mine said, you know, now that I'm getting older, I think a great deal about the hereafter. I go from room to room saying, what am I hereafter? What am I hereafter? Well, this isn't the kind of forgetting that Paul was talking about. Paul was talking about the discipline, the mental discipline of letting the past be gone. Let the dead bury the dead. And what kind of things do you have to forget? First, you have to forget the failures, the missed opportunities. I hear people saying, if only, if only, if only. Some people say, if I had my life to live over. Don't kid yourself. You do the same thing. I think the only smart reply I ever heard to that question, if I had my life to live over, this kid said, if I had my life to live over, I'd live over a delicatessen. And that sort of appealed to me. But if only. You remember when Henry Ford founded the Ford Motor Company? He bought a typewriter. He offered to pay for it with stock. And the fellow said, no, I don't believe that much in the company. I believe I'll take the cash. You realize that he'd have made over $1 million off of that typewriter. I think we all have failures, the missed opportunities. People say, if I only had gotten more education, I'd have done better. I know what you think. I never got to go to college a day in my life except to lecture there. And that gives you some pressure with the faculty. People have been kind enough to give me a couple of honorary doctor's degrees. That's not education. But in America, we have the opportunity of educating ourselves. Tremendous opportunity. And so we're not supposed to remember that I don't have the education. People say, if I'd only taken another job, if I'd only made investments. Just this past week, a friend of mine who's chairman of a financial institution retired after 40 years. I noticed in the write-up, he invested $200,000. It's now worth $1.5 billion. Now, I own some of that original stock, about this much. He gave it to me. And I say to myself, I could have had a lot of that. I'll forget it. I mean, I can't live in the past of what it was. We've all had failed relations, haven't we? Sure we have. Parents saying, I didn't do a good job. And they live their life talking about the job they didn't do with their children. Forget the past, Paul says. One of the psychiatrists helped us a great deal when he said, just in a conversation, he said, you know, parents who are always taking the blame for their children, said, do they take the credit for all the good they do? No. Then why do they take the credit for all the bad they do? If we don't take the credit for the good, we don't take the credit for it. We forget our mistakes of parenting. Marrying, I see people who get divorced, never able to come back to life. Sure, there's a time of sadness. But then you have to move out and move on. I think there's an old saying, don't cry over spilt milk. Mary Alice and I had dinner one night with a couple here in Dallas. We lived in Cincinnati. We came away having dinner, and he happened to be an oil man. And he was crying about a bad investment. His wife said something to him I'll never forget. She looked at him and said, look, you dug a dry hole. Move over and dig again. You have to be able to forget the dry holes and dig again. Not too awfully long ago, a friend called me, executive vice president of a major corporation. He said, Fred, I've just lost my job through mergers. Total shock. I said, look, don't go home. You come down here. I've got an extra office. You bring your wife's picture and your kids' pictures. And you just move in here with me for a little bit until you get over the shock. And I had a sign that I put up on the wall for him. You haven't failed. Only your plans have failed. You haven't failed. Only your plans have failed. And I see people who are constantly failing and they think they are a failure. No, you're not a failure. Only your plans have failed. You know, you'd be so glad to hear that today he wouldn't have his old job back. He's done so much better. And many times out of our failures come our successes. Then what else is Paul saying to forget? Paul is saying to forget your sins. A lot of people you see are carrying guilt around that they ought not be carrying. And they just carry the guilt from one day to the next out of the past. Not sins of today, but sins of the past. And they carry these. Remember, Paul said, forget that. And how do you forget it? You forget it by confessing. When you confess your sins, you forget your sins. Paul was an authority on this. Remember, he said, I am the chief of sinners. I'm the chief. He had killed people. He had held the coat while Stephen was being stoned. He had persecuted Christians. He had done many terrible things, much worse than most of us have done. And yet he said, forget the things that are behind. When you confess a sin, forget it. During one of the turmoil times of my life, I was driving outside of Cleveland. I was listening to the radio, And a radio preacher said, when you confess something once, don't confess it again. Confess it once and forget it. Do we do that? We seem to constantly want to reconfess the thing. When we do that, we really are not trusting God, are we? Let's say you came home, you drove in the drive, and your little boy came running out of the house, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dad, I'm sorry. And you catch your breath and say, sorry for what? Dad, I broke your golf stick. Yeah, well, I ain't real happy about that, son. But, you know, I know. I broke some of my daddy's stuff, too. So I know you're sorry about it. We'll just forget it. And you hug him. The next morning, next afternoon, you're coming back from the office. You're driving the drive. Here comes that boy out of the house. Tears in his eyes, hollering, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dad, I'm sorry. You're sorry about what? I broke your golf stick. Another one? No, one yesterday. You say, son, I thought we talked that over. I thought we had that all straight. Now, let's say the third day you come home, and this kid comes running out of the house. You're going to say, this is a moron. I mean, this old boy's neurotic. Don't we do that with God? When we confess our sins, the guilt is gone, and we forget it. Can I suggest another thing we forget? That is the wrongs that have been done us. Sellier talks about the danger of revenge. Dr. Hans Sellier, the Canadian who got the Nobel Prize for his study of stress, he says the most unhealthy of all the emotions is revenge, active hate, getting even, trying to tattoo people. A lot of people you see carry black books around, and they're going to even the score up. God said, don't do that. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You know one of the problems? When we take vengeance into our own hand, we always overdo it. We never think that we've given him as much as he gave us. And so the other side starts coming back, and you keep going back. God says, trust me with that. The wrongs that people have done to you, let me. I'm always surprised when I go through the plant sometimes and people start talking to me about things that happened to them 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Little bitsy things. And they've carried it all these years. And how do you correct the wrongs? Simply by forgiving. Father was telling me about how his son had disappointed him. And one night when he was asleep, his father walked in beside his bed and just sat there, just stood there and looked at the boy. And said, I wish when you wake up, you would never remember the past. And I would never mention it again. He said at that moment, he realized that God forgave him. Until he forgave his son, he had never been able to really feel forgiveness. And if we, being human, know how to do good things, how much more the Heavenly Father knows how to help. I was talking to a young lady who had had a traumatic divorce. Husband just walked out on her, left her in terrible shape. And I noticed how depressed she was and how rejected she was. And then all of a sudden, she started looking so much better, feeling so much better. I said to her, is there anything you'd like to tell me about that? I notice you're in so much better condition. She said, well, I've been getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and walking and praying. And so the other morning while I was walking, God helped me to forgive him. And now I have forgiven him. She said, you know an interesting thing? I'm starting to remember the good of the past and forgetting the bad. Before I forgave him, I was remembering all the bad and not remembering the good. And so the forgiveness was the way that brought it. That's why Paul says, forget the wrongs that have been done to you. Then what else do you forget? You forget the successes that you have of the past. How many times do you hear somebody give a testimony and the thing's 40 years old? You say, hadn't anything good happened to you in 40 years? I mean, is that the only thing God ever did for you? Well, they're remembering the success of the past that they ought to forget. Because the success of the past is only good for building success of the future. We had an industrial engineer who graduated from Purdue, and we had to fire him. Not because he graduated from Purdue, but because that's the last thing he ever did. After he graduated from Purdue, he never did anything else. Because he couldn't forget the success of getting that degree. So what would Paul say? Forget the failures. Confess the sins. Forgive the wrongs. And play down the successes. Now, those are the hindrances that Paul was talking about. Paul would talk about, you do not run with weights. The hindrances that hold you back. Now, he wasn't saying, give up the good from the past. You're supposed to remember the helps of the past and forget the hindrances. What are the helps of the past? Let me give you these. The first is good memories. Dear friend Paul Burbank, who used to head one of the national associations, said to me, when I was young, my mother used to say to me, son, all through your life, spend some of your money to ensure good memories. You do little things all through each period of your life that gives you good memories. When our son married, he was in advanced school in Harvard, and they had very little money. And they drove from San Antonio, where the wedding was, up to Cambridge. As he went through New Orleans on his honeymoon, they went out to a very expensive French restaurant and had a marvelous meal. And he was telling me about it, and he said, Dad, I know how frugal you are. And he said, you probably would criticize me. I said, oh, no, not at all. Not at all. You ought to spend some of your money for good memories. In every period of our life, Dr. Powell, who was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Nashville, used to say, God gives us memories so we can have roses in December. And these are the things we want to carry with us. We want to build good memories. Second thing we want to carry forward, and that is experience. Experience is simply accumulated learning. This works, this doesn't work. The Bible says, old men for wisdom and young men for strength. You know, it's unfortunate when people say, I don't trust old people. What they're saying many times, I don't trust experience. And the Bible says, old men for wisdom and young men for strength. I was talking to Ben Hayden, the pastor of First Presbyterian in Chattanooga this week. And we were talking about one of his members who's gone very high in industry. It is early 30s. And I said, hey, I'm impressed with this guy. I'd recently met him. Oh, he said he's wonderful. So a unique thing about him, he values old counsel. He always has among his friends some older people. What's he doing? He's borrowing experience. That's smart. Now, the third thing that we take forward in our help, and that is the faith. Faith is a continuing process. As we have seen it work in the past, we know it'll work in the future. The song says, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. And what do we have faith in? We have faith in God's principles. Can I give you the best definition of faith I ever heard? Faith is acting as if it's so. Faith isn't a statement of faith. Faith is acting as if it were so. What was so? The principles of God are so. And this is the faith that we carry forward. Also, then, we need to carry forward one other thing, and that is the confidence to risk. The confidence to risk. In business, I see a lot of people who are afraid of failure. They're so afraid of failure that they fail. And their biggest failure is that they won't risk. Maybe they did something in the risk a little bit later, early in their life. It didn't work out. They're afraid to risk again. Tremendous problem, this fear of failure. I've always been impressed by the poignant statement the little girl said. She said, "I can't say hello because I'm afraid of saying goodbye." You think how she lived her life? Afraid to say hello because she was afraid to say goodbye. And so the confidence to risk. Now we come to the third part of his formula. Remember, the first was you focus your life. Second, you manage the past. Third, you press forward. When he says press forward, he simply says swim upstream. Boss Kettering, the great inventor, used to say, "You got to run fast to stand still." And that's the kind of times it is. I found that you cannot let up and keep up. And I'm talking from a man who's 75 years old, and I find today it's more difficult for me to keep up than it was when I was younger. And so as we get older, we have to swim upstream. We have to press. As the Bible says, we have to work hard. Why? I think Christians ought to understand that there's no progress without pressure. Why? Adamic sin. I was speaking to Key Biscayne Presbyterian Church two Sundays ago. And during the session between the services, one of the young men said to me, "What's the most important thing you've ever learned?" I said that man is basically sinful. That explains everything else to me. Life would be a complete riddle to me if I didn't believe that man was basically sinful. And this explains all of what goes on to me. And this is why Paul says, you got to press forward. You don't make progress. When you drop the oars, you go backwards. It's going to always be that way. It always has been that way. Somebody said, the world is in the hands of the energetic. We're seeing that internationally today, aren't we? We're seeing Japan. We're seeing Korea. We're seeing Asian people come in here and using the old hard work formulas that we used to believe in. And they're beating us to death. Why? Because the world is always in the hands of the energetic. When God told the children of Israel to take the promised land, he gave them the promised land, but on what condition? You can only have that which you occupy. You can't have anything except what you occupy. See, God won't do for us what we can do for ourselves. That's just simply a divine scriptural principle. God won't do for us what we can do for ourselves. I hear people praying for success. It's a waste of time. You work for success. You don't pray for success. You're grateful for it when it comes. But you don't get it by praying. You don't get it by asking for miracles. You get it by working for it. Hard work has always been a principle of the scripture. The fourth thing that Paul said, I anticipate the prize. I anticipate the prize. I know it's there. Why? Because it promised by God. And what was the prize he wanted? Paul wanted to stand before God and have him say, well done. See, he's not going to say well done according to how much you've done, but what you've done with what you had. If the man with one talent had doubled it, he would have gotten the same well done that the man who'd got the 10 talents and doubled them. God's not interested in the amount of production. He's interested in the spirit of production. He's interested in how we, somebody asked me to define success. The best definition I know is it's the ratio of talents used to talents received in the light of our opportunities. It isn't money. It's how we use our talents. I was interviewing a man for a president's job in a corporation. And after we'd gotten through and we're just talking, I said to him, "Say, incidentally, tell me, what really motivates you?" He surprised me. He said, "Fred, what really motivates me? I expect to one day stand before the Lord, and I'd like to hear him say, well done. Well done. a mother, a father, a workman, a professional. Well done. Well done. Can I review the 4 points? We have the focus. We have the discipline of managing the past. We have the dedication of working in the present. And we have the anticipation of the prize. Well done.